Hello everyone, welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast. It's the new season, how exciting. My name is Michael Bailey. I'm literally standing on my own on the editorial floor of Argent Towers with several people looking at me quite strangely, but that's kind of how it works here. We've struggled to get everyone down in the same room at the same time to do the podcast. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to wander around the floor trying to pick out as many Norwich City fans as I can, and journalists and correspondents, a wealth of knowledge at this microphone's disposal. And Nick Butcher, because he's an Ipswich Town fan, aren't you, Nick? Are you looking forward to the new season, Nick?
Not really, no.
That will do for me. Brilliant. Yeah, no, that's fine. That's all we want to hear from an Ipswich Town fan on this podcast. We'll, of course, be bringing you all the pre-match, post-match live coverage of Norwich City across the entire campaign. Pinken.com is the place to be. We've got a brand spanking new YouTube channel. I say new, it's actually been refreshingly relaunched. And you can follow that, youtube.com/thepinken channel, all manner of things. So I'm sort of loitering behind David Freeze's desk at the moment, who's busy working away on this Friday afternoon. How are you doing, Dave?
Yeah, good. I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
We've just had a meeting, you, me and Paddy, over at the multitude of things we're doing at each match this season. It's going to be quite a lot.
Yeah, I think we've lined ourselves up to be busier than we could. Well, capacity is probably the apt word.
Bursting point, and much like our enthusiasm for the new season. Hey, Dave.
Yeah, well, to be honest, in the last couple of days, it has cranked up a bit. I mean, I'm not a big fan of pre-season, to be honest, but I've enjoyed it within reason. It's just you can get excited about this and that in pre-season, can't you? Tom Adeyemi banging in a goal against a Manchester United 11 in the Gunny pre-season, I seem to remember. And then it comes to the first day of the season and it can all go right out the window, and players who had been looking good look silly on the big stage. But on the other hand, you can get players who have maybe held a little bit back in pre-season, and then when it comes to the real stuff, they find that extra 10% and they look a lot better. And I'm thinking that maybe James Husband might be a good example of that, and that hopefully we'll see sort of his true colours from tomorrow onwards.
Yeah, interesting you bring up James Husband, because of course Craven Cottage is the first place we're headed to, and we'll get stuck into that with whoever I accost on this podcast. But interesting thing, I spoke to Steve Lillis, who's a Fulham fan, for the Pinken show midweek, and he mentioned there'll be a few Fulham fans who are a little bit jealous that Norwich have got James Husband.
Yeah, I heard that, and I think they brought him back in twice on loan as well. So he's also a player that Stuart Webber knows, isn't he? Because I think he signed him for Huddersfield, or certainly he was at Huddersfield at the same time.
Yeah, he joined on loan there, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've not been unimpressed with James so far. It's just he's not really done anything particularly eye-catching. I think you can see the stock ability is there, but you need to see him kick on, and obviously he's had a problem with his back. So I think the more games he plays in the Championship, that once the proper stuff gets going, we'll see the best of him.
And me and Paddy did a Facebook Live across lunchtime, and expectations obviously get discussed quite at length, and we probably haven't quite figured that out, have we? I mean, I know I'm looking at this season kind of anticipating a pretty slow start. I'm anticipating a difficult first couple of months, and then we'll see if it all kicks in. That doesn't mean that I'm sort of doubting the massive change we've had in this summer. It's just maybe that it's going to take that bit of time to bed in. Is there the patience around this football club for that, do you think?
I think just about, yeah, because of the amount of change. I mean, I tweeted about it earlier, and that's now 29 ins and outs from the club this summer. That's more than anyone else. Bolton have made 28, but they're a bit of an anomaly anyway, because they've been under a transfer embargo for so long, so they've been dealing in free transfers so much, so a lot of people have been chucked out of that club, and now I think they can now sign players, because they've just signed Wilbur Himovic for a little bit of money. As far as the start of the season goes, once tomorrow's out of the way, I don't think it's too bad. Sunderland at home, QPR at home, Villa away will be tough. But I think the division overall this year is going to be tighter. You haven't got Newcastle, you haven't got Norwich. You know, should have been running away with Newcastle really last year if they'd have had consistency, because they showed it in some of their performances that they were better than the vast majority of the teams in division. But this year, I think it's only really Borough and Villa who could run away with it, and I don't think they'll run away with it. I think they'll be the strongest teams, but I think the spectrum between the best and worst teams will be smaller than it was last season.
We don't normally get to ask you this, so I'll ask you this. Any other business? Is there anything you want to talk about? Is there anything really looking forward to this season, say, different to last season or whichever?
I'd say on the pitch, I'm looking forward to seeing a full season of Nelson Oliveira at speed, at full speed, because obviously he was eased into things last season, wasn't he? And then we saw what he could do. You know, that the final pre-season, the game at Carrow Road against Brighton, if that goal would have gone in and won that game, the one that smashed against the post late on, people would have been going pretty mad about Nelson Oliveira. And he did still score 5 goals in pre-season. So he looks in a good place at the moment. And I think one way or the other, this is probably his last season with the club, because if he does as well as we expect him to do, then, and Norwich don't get promoted, he's going to be in demand. They're going to need to shift his wages and get the money in that they'll need, unless he manages to get Norwich promoted. But even if he did then, if he did that, he would probably be a very in-demand man. So I think this could well be his sort of make or break season of his career, almost, to be honest. And his ability is huge, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him in full flow.
Pressure from Dave. I love it. Good stuff. Now, I don't know what we've done with predictions. I know we had some predictions in the paper today. I think I said 6th, because I think it's going to come. I do think Norwich are going to improve on last season. I feel more optimistic about it anyway. I don't know if I've quite got a rationale behind it, but that's what I've plumped for anyway. Dave, what was your prediction?
I said 8th. So a few boos, I'd imagine. yeah. You know, I hope they prove me wrong. I really hope they get into the top 6. I think the top 2 is beyond them. I think to get in the top 2, they would need this squad as it is, which has been trimmed down and changed a lot, at full strength, full capacity, pretty much the whole season. You can't afford a Nelson Oliveira injury. You certainly can't afford to start the season for a month without Alex Pritchard. So I think the top 2 is going to be a push. I see no reason why they shouldn't be in the mix for the playoffs. I feel like it might just be a stretch to get into those top 6 places. I mean, was it 10 points last season they were outside? Hopefully it'll be closer than that. Hopefully they'll be more in the mix. I think they've got the capability there. I just think it's going to be too much for them. But equally, I also think 8th, as compared to last season, could be seen as a success for Daniel Farke, his first season in England, with the amount of change that the club has been through. I think 8th would be a good season. Obviously, it's not good enough for the future of the club. They need promotion, they need the money. But I think that would be positive.
I think, as me and Pad said, 8th last season was kind of on a downward trajectory. I think if they finished 8th this season, it would feel like it was an upward one. So we'll see. Thanks, Dave. I'll let you get on. Yes, and he's a busy man. We're just writing some cricket. God, he's a man of many talents, that David Fraser. We'll be getting to see him, me and Pad, over the course of the season. I'm just going to wander, make the short distance across to Mr. Paddy Davitt. How are you?
Mr. Bailey, how are you? I feel I've spent most of the afternoon talking to you, my friend.
Yeah, this is the football season, mate. Sorry. Yes, we're sick of the sight of each other after about a week. Not really, obviously. But I want to ask you about Marley Watkins, if I can. In terms of all the signings Norwich have made this summer, he's kind of the one that intrigues me. I want to see what he delivers, and I know Stuart Webber speaking in midweek he was positively gushing about him. What have you made of him, and what can Norwich fans expect from him in the Championship riggers?
I think he's a throwback, and there's a lot of parallels, or people trying to suggest parallels, between what's happening now this summer and Paul Lambert's era, in terms of the type of player he attracted to the club, what their characters were, what they were trying to achieve, how they were trying to fight against the odds almost. He certainly ticks that box. You look at his career path, didn't make it at Swansea as a young man, had to drop out into the non-league game, then he ended up getting a chance up in Scotland, had to prove himself there in a relative footballing backwater, got his move to Barnsley, another, you would say, less than fashionable club in the Championship, and at every stage he's proved he's probably better than, with all due respect to those clubs, better than the level he was at. So he's got that drive and hunger, you can tell just by looking at his career path, that he didn't refuse to believe that he wasn't good enough to be a professional footballer, and has really fought against the odds. And you can't have enough of those type of characters now, particularly what Norwich are trying to do, and that is bridge the gap maybe to other clubs with bigger resources financially. And in terms of what he offers as a player, then he showed in pre-season game against Brighton, you play him centrally off Jerome in a 3-5-2, he carries that goal for it. Phenomenal goal he scored at Carrow to open his account, but he can also play in wide areas. So, and then the final tick in the box for me is he was a free agent, so in, financially that deal makes sense all day long. And you only have to look at the size of the queue of clubs in the Championship who wanted that player, notable amongst them in Ipswich Town. Yet Webber was able to persuade him to come to Norwich, that Norwich would give him the platform he wants to push on in his career. So that's a long-winded way of saying I think they've got a player there, and I think he will prove it.
I like that. I like that very much. Cool guy, Paddy. He's got his fan on, which is just keeping it. It gets very warm at Argent Towers. We have to battle the elements there sometimes. I feel much more optimistic this stage compared to 12 months ago, Paddy. Are you feeling the same? Because there are so many unknowns. It is such a different journey that this football club is about to embark on compared to where they were 12 months ago.
It is, mate, but because of what was quite a chastening experience last season for large parts, culminating in the seismic change that's been unleashed in terms of the not even different people in positions, but actually new positions as well, you know, off the pitch as much as on the pitch, you just feel that in my mind there's still that element of, because it was such a grind last season, you know, and okay, there's been a turnover of player, but there's still a core of players who went through that. I'm thinking of Russell Martins and the Wes Hoolands, them type of lads, Alex Tete, Jerome. So I'd need to see a body of evidence. I'd need to see maybe 2 months worth of Championship action, good games at home, tough games away, i.e. Fulham this weekend being a prime example, and then we'll know. We'll know then definitively. At the minute, yeah, there's potential, and it does feel optimistic. And there's certainly amongst the fan base, I think, a feeling of, yeah, this is what we want. We want to move in a new, positive, uplifting direction. But you know, the hard-headed, pragmatic part of me would think it's going to be a tough ask to pull all that together and hopefully hit the ground running. So yeah, let's see where we are maybe October, November time, I think.
Too true. Now, mentioned to Dave says 8th. I think I wrote 6th in the paper. You wrote in the paper
6th. Yeah. Optimistic, that having said that, that's an optimistic 6th. But again, said it earlier, who'd have put Huddersfield anywhere near it this time last summer? So it's very hard to pick out that club will be there. But, and all the more so to reiterate what I just said with Norwich, it's complete guesswork at the minute, and, you know, but they have the preconditions there. Attacking wise, they're going to be as decent, I think, going forward as they were last season. It's whether Farke's philosophy makes them resolute without the ball, and whether the defensive recruits can actually handle what the Championship's all about. You know, I'll go back to this time last summer, Tim Closer dropped down. Yeah, this man will boss the Championship. He was getting ragdolled by Ricky Lambert, Daryl Murphy, and then coming out and saying, oh, I didn't expect he was going to be as tough as that. And it's totally different brand of football. You know, if we have the rabbit in the headlights with any of these new lads, Zimmerman and Franca, then are they going to be any more resolute defensively? So again, a lot of what I'm saying here, sadly, is caveated with, let's come back to me in October, November, and then we'll know where we're going to be, I think.
Two very, very quick ones. One, what have you made of dealing with Daniel Farke? We've obviously seen him talk and his answers, but you yourself dealing with him?
Yeah, really nice fella. Yeah, yeah. Very measured, very calm. I can see how players would respond to him. But you just feel there might be an underlying kind of, I wouldn't want to get the wrong side of this guy as well, which I did ask him, actually. Remember now, you asking me the question on the opening press conference when he was unveiled at Carrow Road, you know, I said, did he have the stick as well as the carrot? And he gave me a look which made me think, yeah, if he needed to, he could definitely raise his voice, shall we say. So yeah, an impressive individual, and everything you hear from the people who are interacting with him at the football club is that they're impressed as well.
And finally, we're going to Fulham for the opening day of the season. Do you want to give me a phrase that sums up your feelings ahead of heading to Craven Cottage?
Trepidation.
I mean, it's a lovely place to go and watch football.
Well, there's better press areas than the one we go to, that old stand, with one or two home fans in the close vicinity who like to tell us how the referee is wearing a yellow shirt. So not one of my favourites, mate, and certainly not in terms of Norwich one of my favourites either.
No, that's true. I'd forgotten about those guys. Cheers, Pad. I'll leave you to busy man Pad. He's got a lot to get through before we embark on our journey to Craven Cottage. I've just wandered over to the Web team, which is where Web Boss I mean, that's obviously what you're called. Emily sitting next to Pete is keeping quite quiet at that. But Peter Raven, Sports Desk Pete.
Good afternoon, Michael. Is this how you're going to do the podcast now?
Definitely not.
No? Oh, yeah, I can see why. It's not working well, is it?
Oh, he's, see? He's such a charming man,
how
Pete.
How are you feeling?
How am I feeling?
You better?
Well, I had to... No, not really.
Oh, excellent.
I'm better than I was.
Are you pumped for tomorrow?
I pumped for tomorrow?
Yeah.
What, like a tyre? Yeah, fit to explode.
Excellent, me too. Can't wait.
Are you going?
Of course, 9 o'clock train.
Now, I'm pretty sure the last two times you've been to Craven Cottage, you said, I'm never going there again.
Last five times, I think. I've seen one goal, Aaron Wilbraham for Norwich, and I think that's it.
Oh, so you missed the 2-0 capitulation last season?
I missed out. I gave up. I thought, that's enough. And then over the summer, lack of football took hold. I need to go to a game.
So is this blossoming optimism at the new season?
No, it's just the first game of the season.
Do you have any blossoming optimism for the new season?
Unsure at the moment. From what I've heard from pre-season, there's a lot of playing out from the back, which... from the people that sit around me in the Barclay, it's going to be some squeaky bums.
Oh, you're not going to be one of those people,
I'm
are you?
Not,
go, 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 just
I'm
get rid, just no, get rid. No, what are you doing? No, no, get rid, forward.
I'm not, but I know people that are.
Which is going to be a very interesting test of the mood at Carrow Road, because as open-minded as everyone can be when there isn't any football being played, it's going to be phenomenally interesting when Norwich start playing like this at Carrow Road.
And also... see how it goes with this new plan to get the atmosphere up and running with flags and whatnot and banners. How is that going to be reflected on the pitch if the style is changing somewhat? Is that then going to lead to a quieter atmosphere, or is it going to be getting behind the boys even if they are pinging it around to the back four?
You'd just think, wouldn't you, that Carrow Road, having endured... well, a really bizarre season, because actually what most of Carrow Road got to watch most of the season was actually pretty good. But you just think that there'd be this hunger to really, really get behind their side, because it has been so hard and they do have something to get behind, certainly as a starting point anyway.
Yeah, because there's been changes everywhere, hasn't there? I can imagine tomorrow's lineup, there'll be, what, two or three names from last season that you'll recognise, and the rest will be, I guess, the new boys. So yeah, in that sense, there is renewed optimism, and it's changes not only on this pitch, it's all the way up to the top, isn't it, with obviously Farquhar and his team and Stuart Webber. So in that sense, there is a bit of excitement, but it's, I guess it's a sort of this season or bust, really, isn't it?
Yeah, literally. It could be quite literally this season or bust. Clearly, as you've said, Pete, this poor podcast format isn't working. Thank you for that. Really appreciate that. I came up with this idea myself because it was this or nothing. You now have a minute or two to flag up all the brilliant new things we're doing at Pinken.com. Do you want to go for that?
Yeah, well, I think we should...
Plug alert.
I think we should start with our relaunched YouTube channel.
Which, yes.
We launched, I think, 5-6 years ago, and then it kind of slipped by the wayside. As
people should
do.
They do, but people should watch those old videos, shouldn't they?
Yeah, definitely. All done on tape, as I remember, and editors, especially the access all areas to the ground, which I guess has changed a bit. But no, it's as you, as those that have already subscribed, and there's been, I think, 500 in the last week or so, will testament. It's a case of we're now really going for it. There's loads of videos on there. I know Paddy did a lot when he was out in Germany, and we've got the Pinken show on there as well, and also we'll have all the pre-match and post-match interviews as well. So it's definitely a channel worth subscribing to this time. So if you haven't already, then go on the site and there'll be a big button for you to press, and you'll get all the content.
Well done, Pete. Good plug.
Yeah, and we've also got, I guess, our Facebook page is also getting the similar treatment. Lots more Facebook Live from you and Paddy and Dave. I think we had one today, didn't we?
We did do one today, yes.
Yeah, and isn't there a plan to do one on a... in the morning before the match?
We're going to do a Facebook Live kind of show sort of thing before the game. That's the idea, from the coaches, hopefully.
Yeah, and also, I guess, on the site itself, the biggest change is probably the match day live coverage is now going to be all week long.
Just constant. There is never a match not happening.
Click on that massive banner on the right and it'll take you to what's happening right now, as will the site, but this is more a as it happens page, isn't it? I think that's more than a minute, isn't
it? That's enough corporate gumph. Everyone's switched off by now. Thank you very much, Pete. That bit didn't work, but that's all right. At least everyone now knows what we're doing, so that's kind of an important thing that we do. Yeah, talk to Steve, Pete says. And I will come and have a very brief chat with Steve. He's shaking his head, but he's such a learned individual that I think he's worth a very, very brief chat, because as you may know, or may not know, we've released a new Pinkham magazine, which has got some lovely stuff from you in it. Steve, tell us what those bits were.
One of them's about the best and the worst of the overseas players from down the years who played for Norwich.
Can you give us hints and tips over who the best and who the worst were?
Well, I got some help from the fans on Twitter, actually, and it wasn't too difficult to get people like Raymond de Ward into the worst players and Fernando de Veld. Oh. The best was a little bit more tricky, actually, because we haven't had any real overseas legend, but Steen Niedergaard was popular, yes. And my favourite was Alex Tetti. Like him.
Who's still here. By the way, some of you may have commented on the state of my beard over this summer. Steve's beard is truly wonderful. It's a beautiful, long effort. It's very good, Steve. I'm very, very jealous, it has to be said. Did you know I've still got a Norwich City shirt with Ray de Ward on the back of it?
Why did you get that?
Well, I'm trying to figure it out, really. Why have I still got it? Probably more to the point, but there we go. I guess I still thought he had something until Ewan, who was actually in the same squad as him, told me probably about last year that he definitely didn't.
It was clear from the first time he kicked a ball that he didn't have anything. Absolutely terrible.
What do you reckon? I know you probably don't get to watch Norwich as much as you want, or maybe you do get to watch them as much as you want, which isn't much. What do you reckon for next season?
I should be there a fair bit this season. I think we might end up in about the same position we were in last season, but perhaps be a bit happier getting there. Because there's been so much change, the expectation isn't quite as high. We're not expecting them to sort of roll over the rest of the division, but hopefully it's a work in progress. Maybe the playoffs, but maybe sort of top 10, but with a progressive style of football.
What a gent. Steve Downs, thank you so much. We need more of Steve Downs on the podcast and the shows, most definitely. I'm going to take a wander over here. None of you guys will know what the format of the editorial office is, but the sports desk are over there, and then there's the Mustard TV crew over here. Now, producer Jake from the Pinken show, I think he likes to consider himself a bit of a football aficionado. Would that be right, Jake?
Correct.
Yeah, exactly. He's modest too. But you are a Leicester fan also, correct?
Correct.
Now, has that only happened in the last 2 years?
No, it hasn't. You know that isn't true.
I don't know. It's nice to check. So as an outsider, obviously in plenty of different ways, what do you make of Norwich City's rejuvenation this summer? I call it a rejuvenation. We don't actually know if that's what it's going to be.
Rejuvenation. That was very funny, by the way, that last joke. I think it's all very good news. I think the changes were needed. I don't think the players that were there last season were particularly bad. It was just it needed fresh blood, and that's definitely what we've got.
See, listen to him.
This is
Mustard Show producer Kate Winkup. Say that again, Kate.
He's doing his radio voice. I liked it.
You're a big Norwich fan.
Yeah, massively.
Yep. We don't have Norwich fans.
I love Bradley Johnson.
Yeah, plenty still do. And we had you on the Pinken show last year, didn't we?
Yeah.
Didn't we? I'm sure we did.
No, you said I could be on it, and then you just disappeared. Never answered my emails.
Jake, I think this is probably your fault. Do you want to answer?
No, she did feature on one of the Pinken Match Day shows.
Oh, yeah.
And you were telling us how much you rated Stephen Whittaker. That's a player.
Is it still the case? He's left now.
Call him Whittaker.
Yeah, okay, well, we're not going to... don't make me bleep this thing, please, because I've got to edit it. Good, okay. And in terms of... We've done the first Pinken show of the season, haven't we? And Jake, which went well. Live, 7 o'clock every Wednesday, so that's exciting. What have you got planned for the rest of the show, so that I know? For the rest of the season.
Next Wednesday or for the whole show?
The whole season.
Oh, much
not planned
the same,
it yet?
Much the same, really. Just wing it week on week, to be honest.
Yeah, that's your insight into Jake Watson's world. Thank you, producer Jake, doing a sterling job. And you'll be able to catch the show live every Wednesday on the Pinken YouTube. Yes, I'll send you a video, Jake. You'll get to watch the Pinken show live, 7 o'clock on Mustard TV and on the new Pinken YouTube channel. That was so lovingly plugged by Pete Raven. Right, I think that probably wraps it up then. That is a mini tour of the
Hutchin editorial offices. So as I said, all the live coverage you need from Craven Cottage, pinken.com. Follow it all there. And of course, you know, me, Paddy and Dave are all on social media, on Twitter and Facebook as well. So you can follow us there. And we'll probably have a much more normal podcast back at the other side of the game at Craven Cottage, hopefully in a regular Monday afternoon stroke evening slot, delivered directly to your podcast player of choice. You can subscribe at iTunes and probably other places, I would imagine. But for now, keep your fingers crossed, have a happy season, and fingers crossed for a positive start over at Craven Cottage. Until then, goodbye.